Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
You know, I'll admit off the top of the show, I don't 100% know what to make of all of this. I'm not that worried about it, and I guess over the course of the next couple of minutes, I'm going to try to convince you of the same thing. What I am talking about is the rumor that you probably followed over the weekend involving Georgia's search for a defensive backs coach. Now, off the top, it's kind of interesting that that's what we're talking about as opposed to defensive coordinator. The rumor here, not even rumor, it was true. Corey Raymond talked to Georgia, interviewed for that job, apparently wasn't maybe offered the job, and then decided to go back to LSU, which was maybe his plan all along. Raymond is one of the best defensive back coaches in all of college football. Not apparently, as our buddy Connor Riley was pointing out before the show started, not making a ton of money there in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They don't have probably, I guess, have a history other than, you know, Dave Aranda's making all the money down there in Baton Rouge as it is. He's paid over $2 million a year. But one way or another, Corey Raymond, a very respected coach, a terrific recruiter, interviews at Georgia. Nothing comes of that interview, and he goes back to LSU. And to a lot of Georgia fans, there's a little bit of angst here because all of this stuff is now playing out in a very public fashion. You also had the weird rumors over the weekend with Charlton Warren, the Florida defensive backs coach, who was at one point in time reportedly in the mix for Georgia's defensive coaching job. Dog Nation was able to refute that rumor and saying, no, that's not the case. Warren is not in the mix here at UGA. And more of this sort of public, is he or isn't he? What's going to happen next with all of this? Why hasn't Georgia hired a defensive coordinator? Maybe the more accurate phrase, the longer this thing goes on, why hasn't Georgia officially promoted one of its in-house guys to defensive coordinator? And why hasn't Georgia hired a defensive backs coach as of yet? You know, social media and the advance of all that kind of stuff just makes some of this, in some cases, even more intense. But while it's kind of weird to watch some of this play out publicly, and I'll admit, I'm just, you know, if Raymond is indeed not coming to Georgia, which I guess, you know, coming off the weekend, that's the feeling that you get. I mean, I'll admit I'm a little disappointed. Raymond's a good coach. I don't know that it was necessarily all that reasonable to assume that a guy who's got that kind of ties, not just to the state of Louisiana, but the university, LSU, that you know, Georgia could pluck him out of the state in a little bit, in a lot of ways. That's probably like trying to go in there and pull out a guy like, John Emery Jr., running back. But nonetheless, you know, to think that you could go in there and do that may have been a little unrealistic. But as I was reacting with many of you on Saturday evening when this stuff started, you know, popping up to the surface, I'll admit that name gets you excited. You know the impact that Raymond could make on UGA recruiting. You know what kind of coup it would be viewed as if Georgia could pull that off. And the fact that apparently it's going to fizzle into nothing and not happen, there's a little bit of a disappointment. But that disappointment shouldn't be registered on the part of Georgia fans as desperation on the part of UGA. And the concern or the curiosity about who Georgia is going to hire, I don't think should veer in the direction of panic, but the fact that as of yet, Georgia hasn't hired anyone for this role of defensive backs coach, hasn't promoted a defensive coordinator. As of yet, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Because remember, the thing that these guys are brought in here to do, whether it be the defensive coordinator or the defensive backs coach, really any coach on the Georgia roster, they're brought in to recruit. And here's the thing that if I can leave you with this for a moment off the top of our program as we begin our week here today on Dog Nation Daily, I would leave you with this. Thus far, the recruiting process for Georgia in 2019 is going very well. And as you move towards, you know, the 2020 cycle and things like that, listen, it's going to be a while before Georgia needs any of these newly hired coaches to hit the ground running on any of this kind of stuff anyway. So let me give you a few examples here to maybe make you feel a little bit better about where all this is eventually going to go, even if we don't know where it's going yet, and even if we are, like me, admittedly a little disappointed, that's not going to include a big-name guy like Corey Raymond. First of all, let me go back to December here for a moment, when, you know, by this point in time, you know, the news about, you know, Mel Tucker's out there, you know, the stuff's kind of going on, Georgia's looking to lock down its recruiting class, and you think about all the big names on defense that Georgia brought in, guys that you saw on these all-star games over the course of the last few days, going back to last weekend, four-star safety Lewis Seen, five-star linebacker N'Kobe Dean, four-star linebacker Ryan Trouble Davis, four-star linebacker Tresman Marshall. You know, blue-chip guy, one right after the other, that Georgia brought into its class here for 2019 to supplement the depth that Georgia already had. And as Kirby Smart also explained when he spoke to reporters there that day on the eve of the first day of the early signing period back in December, Georgia also identified one of the areas which it was not all that strong a year ago, and with a couple of its signees here for 2019, it thinks it has improved. So when you think about the fact that Georgia is currently missing some defensive coaches, don't let that obscure you from the fact that Georgia has a defense in 2019 that on paper, no matter who's coaching it, no matter what the coaching staff fully looks like here, on paper that looks pretty good. And some of these 2019 signees are a big reason why, including the area involving the pass rush. Georgia didn't sack the quarterback a lot last year. Kirby Smart believes that two of the guys they brought in December are going to potentially change that here, maybe even as soon as this season. For those of you worried about the lack of a defensive coordinator and the lack of a defensive backs coach, here's Kirby Smart to maybe make you feel better about some of the recruiting work this Georgia staff has already done here.
We certainly feel like we've dropped off in our speed on the edge from the Lorenzos and Davins and Leonard Floyds of the years to be able to get Jermaine and Nolan. You know, I don't know that there's two better pass rushers in a signing class anywhere in the country when it comes to speed. Jermaine can run. Nolan can run. And these guys have got to help us disrupt quarterbacks, you know, which we struggle with this year.
I mean, y'all know this. Kirby Smart does not throw compliments around, you know, very freely and very easily. He keeps his thoughts close to the vest. So what would you rather have right now? A fully filled out defensive coaching roster, or, as Kirby Smart describes, the best two pass rushing signees in the entire country as part of the same class in 2019? If I'm a Georgia fan, I'll take the latter more so than the former, and I appreciate Kirby Smart saying that. Now, your response back to that's going to be, but yeah, BA, but Georgia still doesn't have that defensive backs coach. And it needs one. It needs that blue chip recruiter there in that position. It needs that guy to help develop and bring along the next DeAndre Baker. It needs to figure out and announce who its defensive coordinator is going to be. And you're not wrong about that. We talked about this on Friday, too, that there is that little bit of angst on the part of fans, and to be honest with you, in some circles, the media, because the media is just as curious as anybody about wanting to know what the eventual end of this story is going to be. But as I said on Friday, and I want to at least bring this back today because it's more relevant now that the Corey Raymond thing kind of fizzled out over the course of the weekend. The people who need to know, you've heard probably in old school movies before, the whole idea of being on a need-to-know basis. Well, in this case, the people who truly need to know are those recruits that are going to play for coaches, the ones that Georgia's about to hire. They're the ones whose opinion on this matters more than anything else. They're the ones whose, you know, feelings and mood needs to be managed more so than anything else. And let's go back to a few days ago now, when four-star defensive back Tyreek Stevenson made his announcement to come to Georgia and be a part of that 2019 class. Jeff Sintel had a chance to speak to him when it was all over. You may have heard this on Friday's show, but I wanted to bring it back again because it's relevant. Now, the audio quality on this is not great. There's a lot of stuff going on in the room where Stevenson's speaking. But listen to Stevenson speak about how well he thinks that he has been kept in the loop about the absence of a defensive backs coach at Georgia and the absence of a defensive coordinator at Georgia. So if you're worried about the fact that Georgia seems to have, you know, failed to land a high-profile defensive backs coach like Corey Raymond, maybe Stevenson's words from a few days ago, before all of this played out, when there was even less known about this situation than there currently is now, maybe Tyreek Stevenson's words here can be a bit of a comfort to you. Here's Tyreek Stevenson.
Why was it Georgia?
Just me being comfortable with Coach Smart and trusting what he says, and, you know, being comfortable with the team and the facility, so that's why you did. You know, with the Coach Tucker situation, they hit me up first, you know, they let me know what was going on. And they told me don't panic, you know, I trusted that, so then the fact is right there.
I mean, listen, he uses the word comfortable twice. And that's a good feeling for a big-time defensive back like Stevenson. In the midst of some unknown situations here, unknown circumstances, how is Georgia going to fill out its defensive coaching staff? We don't know that yet. But even though Stevenson presumably doesn't know that either, although there's certainly a chance he knows more than us, but even though presumably he doesn't know that, he says, I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable with Coach Smart, the guy that's leading this entire organization. And if Stevenson feels that way, I would suggest that Georgia fans should feel that way too. And then just kind of wrap all this up with on a more lighthearted note, it's also important to remember who you're competing with for these elite players. I saw where another great defensive back, the four-star Kyrie Lam, took his official visit to Florida over the weekend, which, by the way, if there was ever a good time for those weird Charlton Warden rumors to pop up, even if they're not true, having those pop up while Kyrie Lam is visiting the Florida campus, the timing of that actually probably helped Georgia a little bit, even though, as it turns out, there probably weren't too much to this. But for those of you watching on video, this is going to translate better for you, but I want to mention it anyway. So Elam takes his visit to Florida, and you may remember the dance that that Jaden Hazelwood did when he scored a touchdown in the All-American Bowl, or some of the stuff we've seen, you know, around here. You see Kyrie Elam in kind of in his pose on his visit to Florida this weekend. And then you see Dan Mullen kind of doing the same thing here. Now, believe me when I tell you, and I know I'm biased here, but believe me when I'm telling you, and this may be one of those days, if you're listening on the radio or the podcast, you may want to find this for yourself. Dan Mullen looks like the biggest dork I have ever seen. You cannot pose like that if you're wearing those khaki pants. You just can't. I mean, this is one of the goofiest looking things I've ever seen. So given the choice of chasing down the elite talent that's still out there for the class of 2019, I'd rather have Georgia have no defensive backs coach and no defensive coordinator than have a head coach whose way of relating to players is doing the stuff that Dan Mullen gets caught on video doing. So I don't really quite know where that lands with you, but that's kind of where this is for me. I mean, the overall bottom line is, look, it'd be great to have this wrapped up. It'd be great to have this over and done. It'd be great to have what I think of as kind of an elite coach like Corey Raymond in the fold here, or Derek Ansley, who we've talked about and seemingly haven't heard about, you know, kind of over the last few days. That'd be great to have any of that in place. Ultimately, that's not there yet, but Georgia fans shouldn't be all that worried about the timeline. I do believe Georgia will have coaches and quality coaches by the time it really needs them, sometime in the near future, I'm guessing. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you. Good to have you with us. As we said, live on video every day, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, radio at noon, of course, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and in podcast form, wherever podcasts can be found, the Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player for the Android devices, the worldfamousdognation.com, and much more. Good to have you with us. And I would love to see you in person tomorrow. I'd love to talk to you about all this kind of stuff and more. And if you want to be there, part of that, you know, we love the interaction we're able to have online every day, but the best possible interaction is that face-to-face conversation and contact you can get at one of our Marlowe's Tavern broadcasts. Our countdown to signing day continues tomorrow, live at the Marlowe's in Buford. We have not been back in Buford in a while, and we are coming back tomorrow. What I like to think of as a triumphant return. It's 6 to 8 p.m. tomorrow, Marlowe's in Buford. Now, that's the Mall of Georgia location, so if you find the Mall of Georgia, you found the Marlowe's in Buford. The address, though, is 3333 Buford Drive, 6 to 8 p.m. Jeff Sintel is going to be there. A lot of inside skinny, behind-the-scenes scoop on the latest on the coaching search. I'm sure Jeff's got a lot on that, what recruits are telling him privately, and how Georgia fills out its remaining scholarship spots for its 2019 class. That's all with Jeff and you tomorrow at the Marlowe's in Buford, starting at 6 p.m. for our Countdown to Signing Day event. That is going to be a lot of fun. All right, we're going to get Chip Towers here in a moment. Before that, though, let's go around the doghouse here on Monday today, brought to you by Pella Window and Door. And I kind of started the show by addressing some of the defensive coaching stuff that didn't happen over the weekend. It's also important to note here on this Monday morning, a couple of hours ago now, something has happened for Georgia on the offensive side. Now, we talked about James Coley Friday afternoon. If you missed the regular Dog, that was sort of after the regular Dog Nation Daily went off the air. I'll do some more on that in just a moment. But Coley has been promoted to offensive coordinator. By now, you're aware of that, even if it did not happen the last time we were speaking on the regular edition of Dog Nation Daily. But kind of filling out in place of that is Todd Hartley returning to UGA as tight ends coach. I thought that Kirby Smart had a nice statement to make about Hartley's return here. Let me read that to you here just for a moment as a part of Around the Doghouse presented by Pella Window and Door. Smart says, "We expect Todd to be a great fit back at Georgia. He worked with the team while he was in school at UGA until he graduated and then returned to our program for another year later in his career in a separate role. So there's no doubting his allegiance and excitement about returning to join the Bulldogs. Todd has proven himself." And listen to this now. to be an excellent position coach and a top-notch recruiter. We look forward to his return to Athens. So Kirby Smart's not going to miss that opportunity to talk about the importance of someone being a good recruiter. In this case, that's one of the things that Hartley brings to UGA, that sort of tenacity on the recruiting trail. Obviously, Georgia needs that at the tight ends position. And I look forward to seeing him fill out the rest of that coaching staff as the offensive stuff kind of falls into place here. As we said, James Coley promoted to offensive coordinator on Friday afternoon. I think this is a good move. Not every Georgia fan obviously is going to be in love with this. They wanted that splashy outside hire name. I don't think Georgia needs that. I think the Georgia offense was already in good shape. I think that Coley's one of the most coveted assistant coaches in college football. So much so that if you want to go back to last offseason, had a chance to go with his buddy Jimbo Fisher to Texas A&M. Georgia paid to keep him and then promoted him with his role. And in the spring, Kirby Smart, before the start of spring practice, talked about why maintaining that continuity with Coley was such an important thing and the impact he was going to be able to make on the Georgia coaching staff. Here's what Kirby said about James Coley, Georgia's new offensive coordinator, before the start of last year's spring practice.
I think Coley's done a tremendous job for us as a coach. He did a tremendous job with the receivers, very knowledgeable. He's a guy that's been a coordinator before. He's worked with quarterbacks. He's had success working with quarterbacks in his history, and that's something that I thought was a good move for our program. So he'll be co-offensive coordinator. He'll work with the quarterbacks.
So as we know now, it's no longer co-offensive coordinator. He's got that job for himself. Kirby Smart's also said some other things over the course of the last few months about James Coley. We'll update more of that a little bit later on as we kind of continue our conversation about a lot of this coaching stuff, including right now the Around the Doghouse presented by Pella Window and Door. Now, by the way, speaking of Pella Window and Door, you know, one of the things I love about them is that's a locally owned company, but they're also backed by that big-time national brand. So you really get the best of both worlds when it comes to Pella Window and Door. They can help equip your house with energy-efficient windows and doors. As I said, they're family-owned and operated with a branch right here in Georgia, which means you get local service backed by a national company, and they've also got a great offer for you right now. You can get 40% off qualifying installations or 0% APR for 60 months. That's an offer valid through February 7th, so make sure you check that out right now. Two ways to get in contact with them. Check them out on their website at PellaSoutheast.us. That's PellaSoutheast.us, or give them a call in their Dunwoody showroom at 404-445-2979. That's 404-445-2979. Pella Window and Door of Georgia, they're viewed to be the best. We'll have more on the Coley promotion later on in the program. For now, though, let's get an update on what didn't happen for Georgia with its defensive coaching pursuit. Let's talk to Chip Towers right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Say hello to Chip Towers here, all over the stuff that's going on with the Georgia coaching search, the guys that Georgia has hired, the guys that, as of yet, Georgia hasn't hired. And, Chip, you've been around the block on these kinds of issues a lot over the years, so let me begin this way. Corey Raymond is a guy, speaking as a Georgia fan, that I would have loved to have had. I guess for a lot of Georgia fans, though, the fact that Georgia apparently is not going to get him, a lot of Georgia fans would have preferred not to hear about it at all, if that's going to be the case. Do you think it's a bad thing for UGA that some of this kind of stuff is playing out publicly? The fact that Georgia, in some form or fashion, had some contact with Eddie Gran, who's going to stay at Kentucky's offensive coordinator, that Georgia, in some form or fashion, whether an offer was extended or not, had set some contact with Corey Raymond. We've learned about this kind of stuff, and it sort of fizzled into nothing. Is it bad that this is playing out publicly?
Well, no, I don't think so, Brandon. I mean, it's just the age we live in. Look, this is called the silly season for a reason. It's been around forever. The only difference now is just, you know, the advent of social media and the way things are covered are just a little bit different. I mean, but this is always what's going on this time of year. Probably the biggest difference is that National Signing Day, as the complexion has changed considerably, and a lot of this stuff was kept on the shelf, you know, until after National Signing Day. Now, since most of your class is signed at the end of December, you know, you see much more activity in January, and then a lot of it surrounding the AFCA coaches convention in mid-January, where a lot of contacts are made and stuff like that. And I would kind of say with Corey Raymond, I don't know this 100%, but you know, generally when stuff gets out, it's because the other side wants it out, right? Because it's in their best interest. And You know, it's hard a lot of times to distinguish between truth and fiction. In a lot of cases, contact has been made, and in some cases, actual offers aren't made. Sometimes the details of that offer aren't exactly what you think or what they may be made out to be on the other side. But Corey Raymond is a guy who was, who wouldn't want to have the godfather of DBU as your DB's coach, right?
Sure.
But you talk about a guy that is, you know, dyed in purple and gold and is just, you know, resident Louisiana through and through, a native of New Iberia, Louisiana, and LSU letterman. And if you read on the LSU side of things, you know, maybe the door is not completely closed on that at this point or not. I'm not sure. But in any case, I always saw it as a bit of a long shot that you'd be able to get Corey Raymond out of Louisiana.
Yeah, that's a good point. The door, I guess, could be open here. There seems to be the strong suggestion that, you know, Georgia's still in the process of interviewing a lot of guys and things like that. But, you know, I wouldn't ask you to betray a source or anything like that, but are we to assume something that you kind of touched on as well, that when something like this does become public, school trying to hire coach, trying to talk to coach, that when it becomes public, 99.9% of the time, it comes public because of the coach releasing it, because obviously it benefits that coach to be, you know, sort of thought of in a big public light here. Should we most of the time assume this stuff is coming from the coach itself?
Yeah, well, you know, look, we know, if you know nothing else about Kirby Smart, you know, it's that, you know, he's a singular voice message guy, and he keeps everything really, really tight, and really the only people who are, you know, completely privy to who's been offered what, are Kirby Smart and Greg McGarrity, who has to approve whatever kind of money and contract situations you may be talking about. And you know, look, here's the thing, what's happening, and in a lot of cases, I mean, Kirby's trying to keep all his options open, right? So, a lot of people, I mean, I still think Dan Lanning is eventually going to be part of this entire, you know, defensive, senior administration, for lack of a better way of saying it. And I think that's part and parcel. You're trying to get a DB's coach. And out of the pool of DB's coach that you're talking to, that may or may not have to come with a title. It depends just on what you can negotiate into the situation and what you need to negotiate. You know, Corey Raymond's a guy who's making $410,000 at LSU and doesn't have any type of title. That makes him, in today's market, sort of vulnerable. But, you know, he's going to go back with whatever Georgia offers to him to LSU and tell them that, hey, this is what they offered me. And they're going to, you know, either raise him or give him a title, or you're deciding whether he needs to be co-defensive coordinator or defensive coordinator. Now, here's the reality on Corey Raymond. He's not known in Louisiana for his own field coaching abilities. I'm just saying reputation. I don't know. I've got no way to judge that. But I just say, you know, I know a lot of people on the Louisiana beat for a long time, and they got a safeties coach there who shares responsibilities with him. So this is not an X and O guy. This is a recruiting guy. So what do you want? You want a recruiting guy to coordinate your defense, or you're a recruiting guy to coach your defensive back? I don't know. Kirby's got to work all that out. That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
Yeah, it certainly seems interesting that when you hear about all this stuff lately, it seems like it's, you know, more about that defensive backs coaching role more so than the defensive coordinator role. As it stands right now, and I guess I was going to, you know, kind of take the conversation this way anyway, the longer this goes on, it certainly seems more likely to me that the coaching hire is for a defensive backs coach, and that one of the guys already on staff gets promoted to some version of the defensive coordinator, whether it's a co-DC or not. That seems sort of the next step in this process, right, that it's more likely than not that the defensive coordinator is a promotion within and the outside guy becomes the defensive backs coach, which isn't an insignificant hire. But doesn't that seem like where all this is heading, Chip?
No, that's exactly what I would say is where it's heading. And you know, and some of that, you can kind of gauge some of the announcements on that. You know, of course, Kirby announces Todd Hartley today as the tight ends coach after talking to a number of individuals about that position. And again, that was why you were holding off on James Coley. If an Eddie Grant or a dead Dan Enos ends up coming in to coach your tight ends, does that come with a co-title with James Coley or not? Depends on whatever it takes to leverage those guys to get there. As it turns out, they got Todd Hartley. They locked it up. Todd Hartley, very familiar with Georgia through and through, a Georgia guy, a double dog. Been here before, out of work right now, so you know, kind of had some leverage on him. But I mean, I coaches tight ends and has coached a lot of special teams. Probably a really good fit for Georgia, as Kirby Smart says. You announce that now after you've exhausted all your other possibilities. Where it comes on Georgia's defensive backs, you still have National Signing Day around the corner. You're not going to announce that hire unless it behooves your recruiting on National Signing Day. If it doesn't, you'll just wait till afterward. I mean, Kirby's not in a rush on this situation unless he's got some boffo news to share, not just with the public, but with Georgia's recruits. And he's probably working pretty feverishly behind the scenes to get that wrapped up.
So let me ask you about that. And I do think the timing of a lot of these announcements is really interesting. I have to admit that I thought it was interesting on Friday. Now, I don't believe the sort of the Kentucky spin on the Eddie Grant situation. I don't believe that. That rumor started in Kentucky. It ended in Kentucky. I think that tells you everything you want to know about the fact that, whatever level of interest that Georgia may have had in Eddie Grant. That whole thing felt like it was a yarn being spun from the get-go. But, shortly after the Eddie Grant thing, and then you got Dan Enos, who AL.com had reported, being in the mix for Georgia. He takes the Miami job, and then right after that, Georgia, announces the promotion of James Coley. Do you think there's something interesting to the way that the Coley promotion was announced right after Enos left Alabama as the quarterback's coach to take the Miami job? Or, in your mind, is that likely just a coincidence?
No, I think it's all related, Brandon. And this is what makes it so intriguing, the whole thing playing out before us. But here's the bottom line, okay? Sometimes you got to sort of wade through the narratives that you get during coaching carousel season, to find the logic, right? James Coley was always going to be part of Georgia's offensive coordinator situation. He had a co-title with James, with Jim Chaney, who, coincidentally did not have a co on his title. That was kind of key to the whole setup on there. Jim Chaney was in charge, but James Coley was right there as coordinator in the press box, in the coach's box, in the meeting room, helping design the play script and all that. You don't keep him, you doubled his salary the year before and made him co-offensive coordinator to keep him from going to Texas A&M to be the solo, Texas coordinator for Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher. So a year later, you're not just going to bring somebody in with a whole new system and then hire them over James Coley. So, yes, I think all that was part and parcel of Enos and Grant and whatever conversations they had. What Georgia had, the reality, was a tight ends position and possibly a co-coordinator. That's what they had available. That's what Kirby had available at his disposal. Enos gets full coordinator down at Miami. That makes sense. And Grant gets was already full-time coordinator at Kentucky. So, it makes sense. Yeah. The bottom line was James Coley was always going to be part of this situation, and I think that's something that Kirby saw really going all the way back to when he brought him into Georgia. You had an overqualified wide receivers coach when James Coley showed up from Miami in the first place, and he's taking care of his guy, who's taking care of him by recruiting South Florida like a banshee,
I think that what you're saying is really interesting. You use a very important word, which is overqualified. James Coley was not a typical position coach in that he had been a kind of standalone offensive coordinator, going back to his time in Miami, and also before that had been involved in a lot of the offensive stuff, taking place at previous jobs. This is a pretty big time, assistant coaching candidate for any program that could acquire him. I think they would view that as kind of a major coup. The fact that Georgia can promote him, I think, is a good thing here. And, Chip, it goes back to something that, as you might imagine, we've talked about a lot on the show over and over again, which is the fact that Kirby Smart's actually been satisfied with the Georgia offense. Some Georgia fans wanted a complete overhaul because they didn't like Jim Chaney, but Kirby looks at the overall statistical picture and says, this offense is actually getting it done, which is another reason why Coley was always heading for some sort of promotion, because whether Chaney stayed or not, Kirby wanted to maintain the status quo, which is an offense that he thinks is really getting it done based on the game plan that Georgia's trying to achieve.
Yeah, I love what Jim Chaney, just sort of humbly said at the Sugar Bowl press conference, where he said, last time I checked, 39 points a game. 39 a click is pretty good. Talking about Georgia's scoring average, I mean, nearly 40 points a game. And look, Kirby and the coaching community knows that. You know, fans, and this is not unique to Georgia, fans, they never like the play caller, right? I mean, you know, because it's a 50-50 shot that any play works that you call, and there's the added idiosyncrasies of whether you're checking in and out or whatever got called. You know, that's never – you cannot judge the position by that. You know, offensive coordinator more than any other position has to be judged on scoring, yardage, third down conversions, efficiencies, you know, things like that are what tell you what the job your offensive coordinator is doing. And Georgia's through the roof. I mean, Georgia's top third at least. I'm probably not giving them a top quarter, you know, consistently, you know, the last 3 years in those overall offensive statistics, and in the top 10 nationally. So it's just like, it's really silly. I mean, Jim Chaney's good at what he does. He didn't want him to leave. This is what happens in this business. Tennessee, what it comes down to most of the time is a need factor. And Tennessee was a desperate when it came to Jim Chaney in the need factor. You know, they were through the roof. That's why you're paying him, making him one of the highest paid offensive coordinators in America. Georgia was willing to do something to get Jim Chaney to stay because they love what's going on and the consistency. But at the end of the day, there's got to be a line of demarcation, and they crossed it with the final raise on that. And it's like, you know, hey, James Coley could do the job. All right, let's see what we do. You know, what can we do now? How can we better the staff now? That's what Kirby's always looking to do. He's had multiple options, whatever it takes, co-coordinator, assistant head coach. You know, these titles are really not as important as roles on the team. You'll do whatever you can with titles to get people to join your staff.
So let me finish with this. You mentioned Todd Hartley before, and I think most people are going to celebrate this as a pretty good hire by Georgia because there's another guy that knows his way around the recruiting world a bit and has also got some pretty significant ties to Georgia, as you touched on. But in terms of the actual specific coaching role he's going to fill, you know, tight ends is a big issue for Georgia going forward. Georgia loses Isaac Naud to the NFL draft. Georgia loses Luke Ford to transfer. Georgia's going to rebuild that position. Now, Charlie Werner as a number one tight end, you certainly got no beef there, but Georgia plays a lot of two tight end sets, Chip, as you know, and as of right now, who that second tight end for Georgia is either unclear or currently not on the roster, and there's also the issue of Georgia fans who want to see the tight end used more. Obviously, yeah. Recruiting is the name of the game, but the on-field coaching when it comes to how tight ends are going to be developed and used during games, that's a pretty curious issue for Georgia moving forward in 2019, is it not?
Yeah, and I suppose if I had to guess, and again, this is just a guess, BA, but I mean, I would imagine that has something to do with the timing, on Todd Hartley. And look, you know, he's not the type of hire that, you know, nationally everybody's going to go, whoa, you know, look who Georgia got. But that's a very experienced guy that not only, you know, has, you know, deep Georgia ties, but, I mean, he also has experience at West Virginia, Marshall, and Miami, and has been involved quite intimately in the recruiting game. In fact, it was in the recruiting game that he attracted Mark Richt's attention as just a student assistant back in the mid-2000s when he was working for him, and they had a interim situation where he was having to go out on the road and recruit, and you know, he showed quite an acumen for it. But the reality is, you're right, Georgia's tight end situation is suddenly a pretty big concern. And it's not, you know, Charlie Warner's going to do a good job, and I'm sure John Fitzpatrick eventually is going to develop into a solid tight end like all of them are. But depth is a real concern, especially going into this spring, because you got Ryland, is it Goad or Gouda?
Goadie,
okay. So you got him coming in, but he's coming off a knee injury. He's not going to be able to help you in spring. I mean, these guys are going to need oxygen tanks out there because Georgia does use the tight end role a lot. So I suspect, you know, they needed Todd Hartley announced and him on the road so he can go and get in some living rooms of some tight end prospects, whether they be high school or I would imagine this is a situation that you're going to have to look to junior college for some immediate help. And I'm sure these guys that are out there, anybody who's out there might be available. Their biggest question right now is going to be who's coaching me. So they needed to get somebody out there and where they can stand in front of them in flesh and blood now that we're in the open period and say, hi, I'm your tight ends coach, and I'm looking forward to coaching you when you come to Georgia. in a lot of cases, that'll probably be all it takes. I would imagine we'll see some recruiting news coming from Jeff Sintel in fairly quick order to address that situation.
Yeah, Jim, no doubt about that. It's certainly a wild time with a lot of this stuff late breaking and developing over the course of the day. We appreciate your coverage of it all. We'll look forward to reading a lot more from you at DogNation.com. And, of course, we'll enjoy having you back here again on Dog Nation Daily very soon as well.
Looking forward to it. See you next time.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Really good stuff from Chip Towers on the coach that Georgia has hired, Todd Hartley. The coach that Georgia has not hired as of yet, it's defense backs coach. It's defensive coordinator announcements not coming there. As Chip reminded, you know, maybe you don't completely close the door here on Corey Raymond either in terms of what might happen later on in that regard. Some of this stuff is playing out publicly. Some of it's not. We'll keep following all of it. But, you know, as I said, for me, the overall takeaway is how this impacts recruiting. And as you head towards the conclusion of the 2019 cycle, you know, I don't know that there's a lot of evidence that's going to have a negative impact on Georgia one way or another. As Tyreek Stevenson so eloquently explained, you know, he feels like that he was kept in the loop and he was comfortable with the situation where it was. My guess is some of the other guys that Georgia may be chasing down, they may very much feel the same way there in that regard. So, we shall follow that, see where it goes. Before we do our SEC through, and there's some pretty interesting SEC stuff to get to, let me remind you of a great offer from our friends at Kroger. Right now, you can earn 3 times the fuel points on hundreds of items throughout your local Atlanta Kroger store, including all bakery cookies, floral plants, and pet items. It's right now through January 22nd, so visit your local Kroger today and earn 3 times the fuel points. Really good stuff there. Make sure you check that out. All right, SEC through time now, and there is the report out there, and I guess it's on its way to being official, that Steve Sarkisian, most recently the Atlanta Falcons offensive coordinator, was going to go to the Arizona Cardinals and be offensive coordinator for Cliff Kingsbury, who just got that job. Looks like now that's not going to happen. Bruce Feldman and others indicate, I guess, is it Diana Russini from ESPN, was she the first one to report this, that Sarkisian's not going to Arizona. He's coming back to Alabama, where he worked as an analyst for a year and offensive coordinator for one game, having been a part of the effort that lost to Clemson back in 2016. Couple quick takeaways from this, which I think are really interesting. If you look on message boards or Twitter, Alabama fans don't want any part of this, which is hilarious to me. Because what it goes to show you is that you'd be hard-pressed to find any offensive coordinator that's really all that popular. You know, Jim Chaney wasn't popular at Georgia. He wasn't popular at Tennessee before he came to Georgia. I mean, years before. That wasn't his most recent job. You know, there was all this scuttlebutt last week of, is Eddie Grand going to leave Kentucky and go to Georgia? There are a bunch of message boards out there like, good, I hope he does leave. Sarkisian, who was an NFL offensive coordinator last year, would be an NFL offensive coordinator this year. Alabama has apparently swooped in to get him. Alabama fans are saying, I don't want any part of this guy. Now, the reason why they feel that way is because of what happened in 2016 when they lost to Clemson. That was not a good offensive game plan that night, I don't believe, for Alabama necessarily. But here's the one thing about this that's also pretty curious to me. You know, there are a lot of Alabama fans who want to view the scenario with their program as if Nick Saban can do no wrong. The 2016 thing, I don't think you blame Steve Sarkisian for being inserted for an offensive coordinator for just one game. Remember, that was the example of Nick Saban sort of deciding that Lane Kiffin had worn out his welcome. He was on the way out the door, so Saban kind of pushed him all the way out. He went on to be Florida Atlantic head coach. A lot of Alabama fans, apparently Saban included, were unhappy with the offensive game plan against Washington, the game that was right here in Atlanta in the Peach Bowl, the college football playoff. That, to me, was always Nick Saban tinkering with the program too much, a little too micromanaging, a little too hands-on. If you want to look at the failure of 2016, not that needs to be relitigated, that was more of a Saban issue of being just all too controlling and domineering, more so than Steve Sarkisian. I actually believe the Sarkisian hire is a pretty good one. I think the failure of years past belongs to Saban more so than it belongs to Sarkisian. And frankly, this just goes to show you the power of Alabama, that they can go into the NFL and bring a coach like this, you know, back down to their ranks. And you know, more likely than not, this is a pretty good hire. It's also worth pointing out that Alabama's had a different offensive coordinator every year going back. 2016 would have been the last year they had the same offensive coordinator 2 years in a row. So from that standpoint, they've sort of gotten used to replacing these guys as it is. So there is that. Another piece of news involving Alabama. is that now it is a total of 7 juniors that have moved on to the NFL draft after Lindell Mack Wilson has made his announcement there in that regard. Of all of the potential juniors, who could have declared for the NFL draft from Alabama, only 2 have decided to stay. Recently, Deontay Thompson decided to move on. Raekwon Davis did come back. That was probably the big name. And then Trevin Diggs staying as well. So Alabama has lost a lot of juniors. So for the Georgia fans who are kind of panicked the other day because Georgia lost 4, Alabama lost 7. Now, Alabama fans are just as panicked about that as Georgia fans were. Once again, you know, the Alabama message boards, for the most part, are indistinguishable from the Georgia message boards, like our forum at forum.dognation.com. You know, panic has a way of being easily fostered anytime something happens that's seemingly bad news. But for programs like Alabama and Georgia who've recruited really well, there's just always going to be a byproduct of guys going to the NFL early, which, you know, it's good news for Georgia when that happens because it opens up more spots. And really, for Alabama, it's kind of the same thing. You want people cycling through pretty quickly. Speaking of quickly, let me try to also go through 2 other stories pretty quickly here just for a moment. Jalen Hurts, speaking of Alabama, looks like he's visited 3 spots. He's been to Oklahoma, I believe Maryland in the mix there as well, and then most recently Miami. All 3 of these situations make some sense. Oklahoma needs a quarterback, and that's a pretty attractive landing spot for quarterbacks right now. Loxley is at Maryland, the former Alabama offensive coordinator. He knows Jalen well. And then Dan Enos, his quarterback's coach from Alabama last year, is also at Miami. So it looks like the Jalen Hurts situation is heading for a resolution sooner rather than later. In some cases, I believe classes at Oklahoma actually start this week, so this may be on its way to wrapping up here pretty soon. And speaking of wrapping up, we'll wrap up our SEC through by also mentioning this. Georgia committed quarterback John Rice Plumlee. Now, Georgia's got 3 scholarship quarterbacks right now because of DeJuan Mathis' signing and because of the signing of Stetson Bennett as a scholarship player back in December. But the one that did not sign is John Rice Plumlee. He's from the state of Mississippi, and over the weekend, he does visit Mississippi State. If you're watching on video, I'll show this on Twitter, give you a chance to see it. John Rice Plumlee visiting Starkville, Mississippi, indicating that he had a great time out there. He says, "I enjoyed my official visit to Mississippi State." Now, as our buddy Connor Riley points out, the uniform they gave him to wear is actually pretty small here. It almost looks like one of those junior uniforms that you'd buy at like a toy store or something like that. But nonetheless, John Rice Plumlee showing off the maroon and white on official visit this past weekend. And we'll see what his status with Georgia is like as Georgia tries to fill out the best class it can with John Rice Plumlee being offered the blue shirt opportunity at UGA. We'll follow that and make that your SEC through. Okay. Here on Dog Nation Daily, there are a couple of things I'm going to try to do before we wrap up. I do need to go back in time for a second, though, and address, we were talking about, you know, the James Coley situation near the top of our program today, and I thought that Chip Towers was really good on this. You know, James Coley's one of the best, most highly regarded assistant coaches in the country. Georgia had him, and therefore you want to keep him, and the way that you do that is by promoting him. And in terms of why he was viewed as a favorable candidate for the Georgia offensive coordinator job, you know, Kirby Smart talked about this in August. It was still going to be Jim Chaney calling the plays for Georgia, but in terms of the overall influence on the Georgia offense, as Kirby explained back then before the season kicked off, Coley and, you know, many of the highly regarded assistants had already had a strong influence on how the overall offensive philosophy of Georgia looked. Coley had already been impactful there, and that's one of the reasons why he's been promoted offensive coordinator right now. Here is a reminder of what Kirby said about Coley going back to the summer.
I don't know that you can say Coley's going to have more of an impact on the offense because he had a huge impact last year. So it would be misspoken to say, oh, okay, now we're going to have this premonition. No, it's the same offense. We've got Cortez bringing ideas in. We've got ideas formulated by what we did in offseason studies. So the building of the package is really based on what we have. What are our strengths? Are we stronger at receiver than running back? Are our backs going to be as good and as explosive as they were last year? We got to see some of that and see. But the way the offensive game plan's built will be very similar. We just have more input because we got one more coach. And the way it's called will be very similar to how it was called last year with Jim calling it from the box.
Yeah, so listen, I think that what you hear from Kirby Smart there going back this summer was an offensive philosophy in place that Kirby Smart's very comfortable with. Jim Chaney was the guy tasked with doing that a year ago. I don't think Kirby Smart expects any drop-off, nor does he want any drop-off transition to James Coley right now. I believe the Georgia offense is still going to be in pretty good hands. Let me also give you a piece of breaking news here. According to the UGA Alumni Association, the date for G-Day is now set, so you can mark this on your calendar. April 20th, that particular Saturday, Georgia will host its annual spring scrimmage. April 20th. Is G-Day. That is officially set here as we're doing this live here. This just comes out. The spring schedule typically in flux for all these programs around the SEC. They have some flexibility about when they practice, also when they host their spring games. A lot of that determined by TV, but in this case, Georgia has now set its date. That's April 20th. No, that is not Master Saturday, for those of you who were curious and concerned about that. That is the situation there. Let me also say, as we get ready to wrap up our program today, that yes, I did see over the course of the weekend some of the stuff that Jaden Hazelwood had to say. I didn't want to spend a ton of time on this on the program today. I saw what Hazelwood said in the interview that he was a part of on streaming video, and I saw his tweet where he kind of clarified some of that kind of stuff. This all goes back to, I guess, his assertion that Georgia coaches were, he described them as used car salesmen, not... on the record with him about, how they wanted to use him on that. He seemed to reference the departure of Jim Chaney's reason for saying those things. The honest truth is, at this point in time, I really don't care. You know, Hazelwood seemingly doesn't like George and decided to move on. My only point here is I just wish him well in that regard. For the most part, I think that Georgia has done a pretty good job of moving on from him. Maybe it might be a good idea for Hazelwood to now move on from Georgia. Also point out this, that Georgia's done a pretty good job of establishing a brand for itself around something else, which is running the football, and that's a nice thing to see. By the way, 807 days since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten Georgia. We'll end on that good news and see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.